We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
R-E-L-A-X. Welcome to the Eurostep Podcast. I'm Ty Windisch. I'm joined by Rohan Kadi. And I know Aaron Rodgers is a hot, problematic topic right now. But I do think, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day unless it's digital. And I do think his creepy at the time utterance of relax spelled out on Wisconsin sports radio several years ago now is a good approach to take in regards to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm joined, as always, by my ubiquitous co-host, Rohan Kadi. And Rohan, are you relaxed? Are you pressed like your coconut water? What's your state of being as the Bucks improve to 5-6 after holding on against the depleted 76ers?
Relaxed is probably not the word I would use.
Are you ever relaxed? I feel like you have a hectic life. Yeah.
No, I'd love to be relaxed. I'm not, but that's not something I need to talk about.
You're developing like a Zach Lowian like grump and just overall weariness. And you're like, no offense to Zach, like half his age. I'm a little worried, Rohan.
Hey, if I'm being compared to Zach Lowe, that's a good thing.
That's true.
I'll take that.
That's true.
But coming off of this game, we're recording right after the Philadelphia 76ers game. As you mentioned, I'm feeling pretty good. After you mentioned they were depleted, the Bucks are still depleted. I still got a good basketball game. Like, that was a fun game. There were a lot of highlights, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of things we are going to talk about. But it was a fun, entertaining basketball game. Good thing the Bucks ended up on top, which makes it a little less frustrating. But it was good. It was good to see the Bucks play a nice, fun game.
Yeah, and clearly, and this was something, and I want to get into more why I think we believe like there's no need to panic right now. And in the first half, there were panic bells, especially the first quarter. There were panic bells sounding, sirens screeching through the air. There was a cacophony of panic tweets. And I'm probably just reacting to Twitter too much. Although, I think even outside of Twitter, there are people who are concerned about Milwaukee's slow start, which makes sense. The reigning champ being 5-6 through 11 games is clearly not ideal. But I don't think there's a need to panic. Well, I want to get into that. But just props to some of the young guys on the Sixers who played quite well and made this a close game. Tyrese Maxey was incredible. Shake Milton was okay. Paul Reed played some really strong defense on Giannis.
Hey, I'm sorry. It's B-ball Paul.
B-ball Paul. Thankfully, B-ball Paul didn't really get to play in the second half. Shout out Doc Rivers. Here's my favorite Doc Rivers stat from this game. Furkan Korkmaz played 45 minutes and shot 2-for-18. B-ball Paul played 23 minutes. And play like was a good Giannis defender. How do you play a guy 45 minutes who's 2-for-18?
I didn't even realize.
2-for-18, 45 minutes. I remember I looked, he was like 1-for-17, 43 minutes in, and I was just like, how? I mean, I know they're depleted. Come on.
One of 12 from three.
George is George. It's just George, right?
Yeah.
George Niang, who also had quite a nice game, 24 minutes. B-Ball Paul, 23 minutes. Furkan Korkmaz, those two numbers nearly combined. Oh, my God. It's Doc Rivers will never stop being Doc Rivers. Love him or hate him. It's love him if you root against his teams. Hate him if you cheer for his teams. But enough about the Sixers, who get well soon. COVID sucks, etc.
Yes.
I think we've been very clear on our stance. Get vaccinated, etc. But the Bucks, Rohan, I'll let you start off here. You know, we talked about maybe doing takeaways for the season for this pod. And I was like, I really want to do a pod about why people shouldn't, you know, panic. And I think it's not to dunk on people who are, although maybe I did do that a little during this game. It's more about the question comes
you have
like
one specific dunk on someone.
That was a separate thing. That was a different. My
I
dunking.
Did not appreciate the play on words I just did.
Yeah, I mean I did, but my dunking is compartmentalized. I just want to make that clear. But I do. It's a valid question. Why shouldn't someone be worried that the Bucks are under 500, 11 games into a season?
Well, I mean, we could start off just talking about what we've talked about on previous pods. Just this team's not healthy. There's still no Chris Middleton. Again, get well soon, health and safety protocol. Dante DiVincenzo is on a timeline. Brooke Lopez is on the timeline. What are these timelines? We don't know. I won't harp about it, but I won't go on a rant about it again. But come on, give us something, Bucks. It'd be really helpful here. But these are very important players, and they are starters for this team. Maybe not the case with Dante going forward, but Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, definitely very, very important cogs to this Bucks team on both ends of the floor. And they haven't been playing. That's one reason why they've struggled, given they should be winning a couple of these games even without those two. But it's hard to say, oh, the Bucks, their season's doomed, they're under 500, when they're missing key cogs in their rotation. Now, that's just a big picture view to take away. You need your good players to play at an elite level. I feel like that's not a hot take. But looking at it at an even smaller level, we're seeing a lot of good performances from players who are not going to be asked to have these massive roles going forward, again, because of those aforementioned players that are going to be back in the rotation. Like, for instance, we've seen a lot recently of, not in this game, but we'll talk about that, but Rodney Hood, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, they've had some solid performances in previous games. And even in close games, you're not going to have those players playing significant roles, as we saw in the Sixers game with both of them logging DNP CDs. These are going to be roles that are filled by better players, by more accomplished players, and players who fit this Bucks team more, a la Chris Middleton, Dante DiVincenzo, Brooke Lopez, and number 46, Joe Biden's going to suit up for him because he's the 15th roster spot, apparently. But yeah, you're just seeing these good performances from these players who are not usually in these roles, which is encouraging. You shouldn't need to panic this early because you're asking what in this game. Like Bobby Portis playing 35 minutes, playing nearly as much as Giannis. You're asking Semi Ojeleye to play over 20 minutes. You're asking Jordan Wara to pick up 15 minutes, which is pretty good. And Justin Robinson picking up double-digit minutes as well with 11. These are just massive minute amounts for players who aren't going to see that going forward. So even though it may be easy to like say, oh, man, we can't have these guys in the rotation going forward, you can. You just have to have them in smaller roles, which is what they will be when this team is whole again.
Yeah, and I think in addition to minutes and George Hill at 32, like George Hill should not be playing 32 minutes a game. He should be closer to 20 than 30 at this point in his career, especially in the regular season, in my opinion. But it's not just the raw minutes, although I agree with that point. It's also just the role. Grayson Allen is either the second or first best like guard ball handler on the floor.
He's the best. He's just the best.
He's been the best. It depends how you want to look at Giannis, but I guess I did say guard. But he's been basically the best or second best in some of the Chris minutes guard on the floor pretty much at all times since like game one. Like Grayson Allen, when the team is theoretically healthy, is going to be like fourth on the line in terms of like offensive responsibility and how defenses look at him Right now, he's like 1/2 a lot of the time. Still managed 25 points tonight, by the way. We're going to have a Grayson, another, we're just going to have Grayson Allen conversations every pod because they're delightful. Grayson Allen rocks. And the extension, as we predicted, already looks incredible. I think Grayson's going to be a buck for quite a while. But it's like he shouldn't have to do all that. Like, it's so much responsibility on Grayson Allen. And the games when he does not have 25, which, again, you literally are a psychopath if you expect Grayson Allen to average 25 points a game. A team with Grayson Allen as one of the best two offensive players is not going to be a very good team. That's life in the NBA. He's a good role player. He's not a star player. No disrespect. That's just how it is. But that's what he has to be right now. That's what he has to masquerade as. Giannis has to be a center all of the time. Bobby Portis and Semi Ojeleye have to be centers a lot of the time. And that's really the thing. In addition to, you know, just being down good players, which, as you mentioned, sucks. Like, the Sixers had a better answer for not having Embiid than the Bucks have for not having Lopez. I think Andre Drummond sucks. I also think Andre Drummond would play 30 minutes a game on this Bucks team because they're dying for a guy who can
That is such an awful thing I'm imagining.
But am I wrong, though?
You're not,
I'm glad it's not real, too. But it's like, he would play a lot.
Bud's going to have him spotting up in the corner.
Drummond would love that, unfortunately. But he would probably, you know what? He'd be a superstar on the young guys' TikToks. He would get in every TikTok. He would have his raps in the TikToks. Andre Drummond would thrive.
Oh my God, I forgot. Andre Drummond's a rapper.
Yeah, Andre Drummond is a rapper. He's also a vlogger. The YouTube is, it's doing better than ours. You know what? I usually talk trash because as a max player at one point, the YouTube should be better, but his YouTube is bigger than ours. So no disrespect. It's hard out here on YouTube. Andre Drummond, we get it. But all this to say, like, in addition to just losing talent, the Bucks are down so bad positionally from what they're used to, you know, on the interior that I think it just makes it hard. And you see, like, Julius Randle had 32 against the Bucks in, like, 34 minutes or something. The only time he scored more this season, he had 35. And in Tibbsian fashion, he played, like, 46 minutes in that game. Like, he had basically his best game of the year against the Bucks because they just don't have the consistent size. And we saw it in this game, too. What did Drummond have? I'll kind of talk trash about him, but 17 and 20. He did get the 20 rebounds everyone joked about before the game because, of course, he did. He's very big. The Bucks don't have a lot of guys who are that big. So they're in addition to just being – and, of course, you know, the Sixers, again, were more depleted. They basically were without their whole starting five. If you want to count Simmons, I don't know. That one's kind of on them. But the rest is just unfortunate without Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, and, of course, Joel Embiid. But – like, I think their lineup and their team makes a little bit more sense positionally, as much as one can on an 8-man rotation with G Leaguers, just because the Bucks are so thin at the bigs. I'm sorry if it seems like we're talking about this too much, but it's just so glaring every night that they need a center. And honestly, Robin Lopez not playing for Orlando, just buy him out, Magic. Just John Hammond. Do your old squad a favor.
Solid.
I promise. I can't promise this, but the Bucks will send you the well-deserved ring for drafting Giannis if you buy out Robin Lopez. Please, John Hammond, do it. Please.
Or just, yeah.
Can't trade him until, like, December, so you got to buy him out. We need him now.
That's true.
It's my low bro, and I need it now.
Who was it? OGG's? It probably was, who put out like a Robin Lopez mixtape the other day.
And it's I don't know. That's amazing.
I tweeted that and I saw that. I was like, I am in love with this video. I miss this so much.
He's actually like quite a good player.
He is. He's really good. He keeps getting mid-level exceptions year after year.
He won out Washington center minutes. They have like five promising young centers, but Robin Lopez is just like, hey, can these guys hit hook shots? No, they can't. Let me get those minutes. Orlando just has way too many young guys, and they don't care at all.
Mo Bamba's tearing it up.
Yeah, so. I know. Let's address that. Stop mocking Mo Bamba to the Bucks. He looks good now. They can't get him. They're not going to get him. Oh, Bucks, I get a lot of tweets when I tweet about the center thing. Just go get Mo Bamba. They can't afford Mo Bamba anymore. Not financially, but like asset-wise, they don't have.
Maybe financially.
Well, yes, also that. but especially in terms of like they're
not, they lost money during the playoff run time.
Yeah, it's hard out here to, you know what has never been more difficult? Being a billionaire. It's hard not to feel. I couldn't imagine what it's like. Couldn't imagine.
Not just one billionaire times.
Three or four three? Or whatever.
Three?
Who knows? Who knows? Three. Yeah.
that'll forever be funny to me. But yeah, Robin Lopez, he is my, who was I caping for in free agency?
I know I was down bad for Biombo, and I still
DeMar. I was caping for DeMar so badly.
Oh, yeah. Really? DeMar is awesome. I will say, you know what? I don't think we should feel bad about pre-Drew and also pre-whatever during free agency caping for DeMar. He looks great on a good team. It turns out it's good to be on a good team. It helps. If you have proven skills, you can be helpful on a better team. Who would have thought?
Yeah, so I was caping for DeMar, and now I'm caping for Robin Lopez. Hopefully one of them works out. But yeah, it's a glaring weakness. But again, hopefully that roster spot gets filled. Hopefully Brook Lopez just comes back again. Tell us, please. I don't want to just say the same thing I've been saying, but just come on. What is this? But those are reasons why, you know,
also,
it's not.
I have one
don't
more.
Don't need to panic.
I have one
Go
more.
For
it. We don't need to ask questions about this team. They won a championship a few months ago. What?
I'll push back on that a little bit because
why?
This is a different team.
It's the same core.
It is the same core, but the way the players around them play differently. So we need to see how that sort of works out. I'm not saying that it's a reason to panic.
They played Jeff Teague in the playoff run and they won a championship.
They did. It was great. We had the Jeff Teague game.
Like, I just think Not to be too reductive. I mean, obviously the team that won last year doesn't win the next year every year, but like Giannis, Chris, Drew, Brook Lopez, and some role players, they won a title. They're really freaking good when they're on the same team. They haven't been except for one game all year. And that first game, like all the role players were out. So we haven't seen them healthy at all.
And they beat the Nets by 20.
Yeah. And I mean, the Nets have been pretty up and down. Patty Mills, it turns out, is not actually as good as Kyrie Irving. I think we've learned over the last couple of weeks here. It's a hot take to many.
My LaMarcus Sixth Man of the Year pick is looking better and better.
Oh, God. It was hard for it to look worse, Rohan. Factually
what did he put up like 18 last night against the Bulls.
Does it count against the Bulls?
They're a good team. You just said that.
On one side. I know Vooch has gotten better before the Vooch defenders come for me to explain why he's averaging 14 points
words,
per game.
You
yeah, you got
can't weasel your way
out.
Sorry
about the Bucks. Forget these other terrible teams. I trust the Bucks. I know. Famous, toxic words, whatever. We've seen it. We saw it with our eyes. We know what they can do. They're still really good with Giannis on. With Giannis off, it's like mostly G League guys. Not mostly, but G League guys playing. Justin Robinson, love you. Terrible game against Philly, which kind of makes sense. He's a two-way guy. He's not a proven NBA player. I just think there's no need to panic. Even if they had lost this game, it would have sucked. Like, it's the seeding hole will matter eventually, at least a bit. But I just don't think there's any need to panic about a rough start. I mean, the Bucks were getting doubled up in three-point percentage in the first quarter, and people are like, the effort's not good. What's wrong? And I was like, I don't think the effort's not good. I think it's a shooting variance quarter, and we've seen the Bucks come back from these quarters time and time again. And oh, look, they did it, and they won by 9. Like, I don't know. I don't get the furor. I mean, I get it. I just don't agree with it, I should say. I do. I truly do get it and emphasize. I'm just not on board yet. Like, we know what they can do when they're healthy. Just scrap by until you can get there and be careful with guys. And I don't know. I don't have an issue with it. They're not 1-10.
Yeah. And they're also like, what? They're only like, what, three games out of first?
Probably.
That's two and a half games.
Also, one more thing quickly before we get to some, what can we glean so far from the results? People are talking about this Eastern Conference road trip. They're going to not win a game on this road trip. That was tweeted to me when they were down.
No, I believe it was if they lose this game, they're not winning a game during the
There was multiple people with a similar
there were more.
Sentiments.
It was more than one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Why do people think the Celtics and Hawks are good this year? Well, if we're panicking about the Bucks, what are the people in Atlanta doing they're 4-7 right now with most of their team healthy, their backup center. And now I think Hunter is out and I think Bogdan is out, surprise. But like for a lot of the season, they've been relatively healthy. They've been worse, and the Celtics are the Celtics. So I think they might end up going over 500 on the road trip. What are they, 1-1 right now?
Yes.
I think because the first game of it was,
Washington. Yeah, they're 1-1 right now.
They're 1-1, and the rest of the road trip, if you're not aware, is tomorrow night, Knicks. That's going to be tough. Tonight, probably, as you're listening. Maybe tomorrow night. Well, it's pretty early still. Second night of a back-to-back. I think the Knicks are pretty good. That's going to be tough. Celtics on Friday night, Hawks on Sunday night.
And then the Lakers. Oh, that's at home.
This is the East Coast trip. The Lakers, I can't wait for that game. But
that game's going to be a disaster.
For one of the teams. And it's what's also nice, though, low-key about this, there's like it's not a super cramped road trip. Like they had the Sunday game, a game off in the back-to-back. That sucks. But then after Wednesday's game, they don't play till Friday. Then they get Saturday off. And then they get Monday and Tuesday before Lakers. So only one back-to-back on the road trip. The NBA is trying to get better about that. But I think there's a solid shot they go over 500 on this thing, even if they don't get Chris back until do we know when could they get him back?
I believe he could.
He could be back by the end of it, right?
I think he could be back because his first game out was against the Pistons, if I remember correctly, right?
I think it was. Or was it the Jazz?
Let's say it was the Jazz, just to be safe.
It was the Jazz.
The Pistons.
It was
Pistons,
the Jazz.
Just to be. Okay.
He didn't play against the Jazz. That was October 31st, Halloween.
So he technically could be back at any point, right?
Yeah,
it's at least 7 days. He just has to
record. I think it's 10.
Yes.
It depends on the level of symptoms, but because he was, I think, my read, and I think people have reported it is 10 days for him. I mean, he was out sick for a game, so you assume that that qualifies as being symptomatic enough for the 10 games.
Yeah, so
10 days. Sorry, 10 days, not games.
Yeah, so that would mean today would
today slash
be,
tomorrow, yeah.
Today slash tomorrow would be last day of that, but you also have to record like negative tests within 24 hours, like
yeah.
Two negative tests within 24 hours. So we'll see how that goes. Again, get well soon, Chris. Hoping for the best here.
Yeah, of course. He got to talk to Joe Biden.
He did. That was a cool moment.
Can we gauge how healthy he is by what we heard over the FaceTime?
We don't really know what Chris Middleton sounds like in different circumstances. So
I feel like Chris Middleton sounds the same in every circumstance. That's a great point.
So we can't really discern whether it's healthy. Spirits did seem high. I feel bad for him for missing out on the White House.
Although it's almost cooler. And not even to be pro, you know, Joe Biden or anything, but like, it's just so funny to me that in the White House, the president of the United States was on the phone with Chris Middleton. I just love it.
And gets an official tweet from the president of the United States.
Imagine me telling
you. That's going to be in the National Archives. Like, do people realize
that? It is. Every
time. Like, Giannis calling Chris Middleton, handing the phone to Joe Biden is going to be in the National Archives.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. It's just weird because they're the first team to visit the White House since 2016. So
I think every Giannis-Chris interaction should be in the National Archive. But that's just,
I agree.
Back to actual Chris logistics, I don't think they would play him Knicks game, even if he did get the test, like it just feels like from going out of the facility to playing, I don't think they would do that. So it feels like the earliest possible is the Celtics game.
But the thing is, he's not with the team, so he'd need to have private transportation there. So they might just say, like, just don't play on the road trip.
That could very well happen. Although, so, I mean, like, what is Milwaukee to Boston? Like a 4-hour flight, maybe?
I've never been to Boston.
So I haven't either. But I know the East Coast is not as far. Maybe it's farther than 4. But
I think around 4, maybe.
It might be. I think they could make it happen. I know we're cutting costs, but I think they could get one extra plane trip going. But they could very well, just given the road trip off, too. You never know. I'm sure a lot of it depends on how he's doing, but it's possible. Mm-hmm. But either way, I think the worst they're going to do on this trip is 2-3, which isn't great, but it's not terrible for a road trip without three starters from last year's team. RELAX.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're saying 2-3 on the road trip?
I'm saying that's the worst they could do.
What do you think is going to happen on the road trip?
I think 3-2.
3-2. So they're 1-1 right now. Who are the two wins coming against? Or three wins, excuse me.
So two more. So they got one against Philly.
Yes.
I actually think they're going to win the next game. I think in the Garden, after they blew it last time, and Giannis might just not play. Some guys might not play. That's the thing, right? Like, you don't know who's going to be in or out. He probably is. He likes the garden. We know he likes the garden. But I could see the Bucks being a little pissed off. And the Knicks have been a little shaky. They've been off and on these last few days.
Noel is out.
Oh, Nerlens being out is huge. Nerlens is, like, better than Mitchell Robinson. And Mitchell Robinson could get in foul trouble in 40 seconds. So the Bucks and Knicks might end up having the same amount of bigs in this game, which would be big for Milwaukee. But I think they can do it. I think it's like one of those games. It's like a trap game enough for the Knicks in a way that I think they can win. And then you just split one against Boston and Atlanta. I don't know which one, but probably Boston, but you never know.
I think they might just win all three times.
Oh boy. Rohan.
They might.
Coming out swinging.
They might. Again, Giannis likes the garden. They usually play well there. Knicks are undersized right now, understaffed. Again, so is Milwaukee. This is why they lose to, you know, the Wizards. I know the Wizards are good, but, like, come on. Lose to the Knicks, like, at home. That happened a few days ago. So this is the same team. They're playing them again. Boston is prone to collapse, so I'm predicting something similar to this Philadelphia game where Boston comes out to a big lead and then they just choke it away like they have been doing all season. And then Atlanta, it's the same problem as they faced in the conference finals, except this team is worse.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on there, but
I think they're feeling championship hangover from making the Eastern Conference finals.
It's kind of rough. It's not ideal.
Couldn't be the Bucks.
Oh, well, kind of was. Post 2019. Probably not. They were extenuating.
They came out so strong.
They were, yeah, you're right. Okay.
They were on a better pace than they were that season.
I was just thinking about the playoffs. You're right. And there were extenuating circumstances. The bubble is a fraud. We all know this. The only bad teams the Bucks have lost to are the Wolves and Spurs. I just feel like that's worth pointing out.
Not a great sample.
Well, I think people are looking at the names that they've lost to and going, oh my God, they lost to the Wizards and the Knicks. The Wizards and the Knicks are like 14-7 so far combined this year. I'm just saying some of the teams they lost to are not bad teams anymore, at least not so far. Like they're playing some pretty solid teams overall. I mean, and the Pistons.
Yeah, it's just it's been a weird schedule. It's going to be, I don't know. It's going to be a slog until everyone gets healthy. That's my main takeaway. It's just going to be a slog.
But they're going to go 3-0 on the rest of this road trip. It's such a slog.
Yeah, these Bucks they fight through the slog. Did you not see the playoffs, Ty? Come on,
I did.
But like just looking ahead at their schedule. We talked about that road trip. Then they have a 5-game homestand where they play the Lakers, who will not have LeBron.
He's already confirmed to be out for that long.
I thought it was probably around 2 weeks.
Holy crap.
It's not confirmed. It's not confirmed.
But that's what they – wow. LeBron being actually injured these days is like just a worrying sign of
– I should say they might not have LeBron.
Ozymandias effect. Time, baby. Time never loses.
Then they play OKC, who's
not sleeping on him.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping on him. Shea is really good. SGA is incredible.
I'm excited to watch Giddy.
I know. He's such a good passer.
He's fun.
Such a good passer. Then they play the Magic in back-to-back games where you can just leave Robin Lopez there.
Please.
Just leave him there. And then the Pistons. So
yeah, that's a great trip.
Your schedule sort of softens up a little bit, and that's probably ideally when you want to have players coming back so you can get the rotation sort of set again. It's lining up to be good, which is another reason why you shouldn't panic. The schedule is going to be lightening up. It's going to be, you know, a little bit easier. You're not going to be playing like good teams or pretty decent teams on a consistent basis. You're going to face some bad teams. It's fine. The Bucks will be fine. They're not going to be below 500 for the rest of the season after tonight. That's my prediction.
Just looking ahead, it feels like they don't have too many runs in this schedule where it's like a lot of good teams in a row. Like they get some pretty bad teams sprinkled in here. Like for every time it looks like there is, like especially over the next couple months, at one point they do Hornets, Raptors, Heat, Cavs, Heat. Which, like, if you buy the Cavs or not, the Cavs have been pretty good. The Heat have been good. The Raptors have been fun, not exactly good. The Hornets are kind of coming back to earth a little bit. That's probably their hardest 5-game stretch until I was looking pretty far ahead. It's probably until, like, February or something when they go to the West Coast again. Like, so, yeah, it's a great point, Rohan. Like, upcoming schedule for the Bucks is, you know, we've seen them lose some winnable games, but if we assume that at some point they're relatively healthy, there are some teams here they should be able to mostly just outclass.
Yeah, it's just, again, they're coming off a championship. They need to get their legs back under them. A couple of these guys, it's been long summers, or short summers, I should
yes.
say. It's fine. They're, what, 11 games into the season now? It's fine.
And
I stand by my prediction that this is the last game that they're under 500.
And I think they're 2 games now back from the big tie for the first seed in the conference.
2.5.
But is that, I'm seeing 2.5, but it's showing me 4-6 on the standings I'm looking at. Does it still say 2.5 for you? Oh yeah, because now Philly dropped out of it. So okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so the idea that they're like out of a good seed already is hilarious. Like it's way too early.
Yeah, they're, what are they, 13% into the season? 13.4,
and almost 500. Like it's, you can go 500 over a random stretch and still have a good season. They're not gonna, we're out of the 65 game winning thing that we were hoping for. Probably. But
what if they don't lose again the rest of the season?
That would be ridiculous.
What is that, 73-6? I can't math. Wow, no. 76-6?
Yeah. That wouldn't be too bad.
Man, hopefully it doesn't go as the last team to break the regular season wins record.
Yeah, seriously.
You want to get into rotations?
Yeah. So rotations are just stuff we can glean from the early season here.
Oh, yeah, let's. I wanted to sort of combine the two a little bit and take away what I'm learning from the rotations throughout this season is that, one thing, they are ever fluctuating as usual. This remains a Mike Budenholzer coach team. And just sometimes people are going to be in the doghouse for some reason. And sometimes guys are going to get insane amount of minutes. Like I mentioned earlier, teased earlier, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, Rodney Hood, both get DNP CDs after, you know, tallying a good amount of minutes in the last couple of games, especially to start. But you're seeing now, like, Semi Ojeleye has a bigger role. Bobby Portis is back. Both of those two are cementing themselves in the rotation. That takes Thanasis out of it. Jordan Wara, if he's going to be playing 15 minutes, where does that leave Rodney Hood? Apparently without a spot in the rotation, especially you have to play Grayson Allen a large amount of minutes, and you apparently have to play Justin Robinson. Honestly, I would have rather had Rodney Hood as the backup point guard than Justin Robinson in the Sixers game.
Yeah, I mean, although I do think that's a little bit of like Captain Hindsight, because we did sing Justin Robinson's praises, and I think I even said at one point, I would like to see him play a little bit more and take a little bit off of George Hill's plate just to not overload him. So it didn't work, but I don't know. I think it seemed bad because it didn't work, but it was working, and then it seemed good. So I don't disagree, but I think this is kind of a Bud thing. The irony of the Bud narrative being like he plays too many guys is actually when he has platoons, he randomly sits rotation guys to not play too many guys in a certain game. And then some of the decisions seem wacky, but like it wouldn't shock me if Rodney Hood, who's now caught a couple DMPs, ends up playing like next week. And I don't know who would sit, maybe Shemi, maybe Wara, who's been a little up and down. Someone else sits for a few games. Like I think he just goes through these spells of trying stuff. So, you know, I would have liked to see some Hood. I think Hood has been largely kind of good in his minutes. I like the offense he provides. But I also think from Bud's perspective, you know, I think Wara is the guy he's playing for that offensive spark. And he doesn't want to have two guys. I think he sees diminishing returns. Again, this is just total couch guesswork. I think it's like diminishing returns on going for offense if you play Hood and Wara. So Wara's just playing right now. It wouldn't shock me if we saw a game within the next week or so where Wara doesn't play and Hood plays, you know, 14 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, I was looking at Rodney Hood shooting splits, just like trying to figure out how exactly he sort of fits in. This teasing something that may be coming to the Substack at some point. I don't know when, to be honest. You know, he has not made a single mid-range bucket this year.
Is that good or has he taken a lot?
It's just, he just hasn't made it. He's attempted a few, but he just hasn't made it. He's just like 77% of his field goal attempts are coming from three. 72% of his scoring is coming from three. It's just, it's ridiculous. And he's doing a lot of scoring on fast breaks.
Oh, God.
Also, I think he could fit in pretty well. It's just, he doesn't have like the full three-dimensional scoring, which maybe is why he's not in the rotation right now.
Wait, you're underselling this. It's not that he hasn't made a mid-range jumper. He has yet to make a shot within the arc. He's 6-for-17 from three and 6-for-22 overall. So he's only taken five, but 0-for-5 when he's not shooting a three.
Yeah, it's just, it's not good. 0% of his points
are going to go 2 points. It's not great. Although he does have seven free throws, so probably some technically in there, but yeah, he hasn't made a shot there yet.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Almost a quarter of his threes are coming on fast breaks.
He pulls. I like what he adds in that sense, but I get, like, if you think Wara is better or could be better by playoffs or next year or whatever, I get playing Wara over him, although he has not shot the ball well, 32% from the field for Jordan Wara so far this season.
Yeah. But just getting back to rotations and stuff, like this is why, this is what happens with Bud. We've been growing accustomed to this over the years now. And year four.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm still getting used to Pat Connaughton just switching everything against the Charlotte Hornets in year one. Do you remember that game? That's, if you're listening to this and you remember exactly what game I'm talking about, tweet
him at Arcadi Jr. Send it.
You know what I'm talking about, Ty?
No, not really. I don't get to tweet you.
Dang, it was a fun game. They were losing to the Hornets.
Was this wait. Was this in Paris?
No.
Oh, I don't remember.
I remember that game too. I think we did a pod after that game, and I did it in like a work office with headphones or something.
Yeah, because it was a day game. I think that makes sense.
Oh yeah,
I think I left work early for that. My old job. Anyway, enough reminiscing over Hornets games from years gone by.
No, it was like a game where they're like, okay, we're losing, so we're just gonna switch everything, and then they just suffocated the Hornets, and we're like, do this in the postseason.
I do remember. Okay, I remember that now.
Yep. And then they did not.
Yeah, but good call out.
We're used to seeing players not really playing. Like I used that example to illustrate that Pat Connaughton was not in the rotation at that point, which is wild to think about now. But it's because Pat was struggling in some aspects of the game, so he's just not going to play it. You were mentioning, Ty, about how it's not just like Bud plays a lot of guys game to game. It's just over the course of a couple games, he plays a lot of different players because in individual games compared one game to another, you're sort of seeing different rotations, and we're starting to see that sort of come through. And again, is that good? Who's to say? Is it bad? Not really. It's the regular season. This is where you try stuff out. We've been seeing, especially starting last year, that this is a trial ground. It's a playground for the Milwaukee Bucks, the regular season. Again, another reason not to panic. This team doesn't really care about the regular season anymore in terms of like wins. Obviously, they're going to win. But, you know, they're just trying a lot of different things. And we're seeing that with the rotations. How does it work when your big rotation is just going to be Semi Ojeleye and Bobby Portis and Giannis? In this game against the Sixers, did not work particularly well, but they tried it. That's why you don't see like micro ball with Thanasis at the five a lot of time, but we've been seeing at points during this regular season because they didn't want to do that this game. They wanted to see what Bobby and Semi look like. Is Thanasis going to be back in the rotation at some point? Yes, he's good. He's going to be back in the rotation. Is Semi going to fall out of favor? Is he going to miss some shots at some point? We've seen that he's very capable of missing shots in literally every game except for this one, where he was perfect from the field, I believe. What, 4 of 4 from the field?
Oh, yeah.
3 of 3 from deep?
Oh, yeah.
And that two-pointer was a one-legged fadeaway? Like, what?
He broke the seal when he made the one in the last game. Now he's ready.
Hey, it's looking good. I tweeted this. Your Semi agenda is looking good. He still looks lost a lot.
Yeah, he's got to figure out where to go. But when he gets the ball and he's in the right spot, when the stars align, he's ready now.
Someone went under a Semi screen and he just pulled off. I was like, what? What? I think that was his third made three of the game. He was like, oh, I'm feeling it. Well, I'm feeling it.
They do need him to play like that. Like he needs to be in the right spots.
No, they do not.
Well, not off the dribble, but they need him to shoot right away. That was killing Portis in this game. Finally, he made some threes, but like so many times he gets the ball. And the Sixers, especially the way they defended ball screens, they both guys dropped every time. Like Bobby Portis was wide open from three. Anytime the Bucks wanted to get it, it wasn't a complicated thing. He just pops back. He kind of drifts back and, oh, wide open, catching a pass. Just shoot. Like
shot is so slow. Did it get slower?
I think it did, but it's like he would even have time. Like they're so far from him, he just doesn't want to shoot. He was 4 for 8 in the game. It sounds odd to criticize, but Bobby, let those things fly, man. Get lethal shooter. That guy needs some overtime. Like get out there and fix whatever's going on here.
But he's too busy shooting baskets underwater.
And the nails thing, have you seen this? There's like a rim.
Wait, no.
There's a rim and backboard with a bunch of nails sticking out. And you have to shoot through the hoop. And if you hit anywhere else, it's nails. I think that's lethal shooter. Pretty sure.
This guy's out of control.
I don't know. I show up to the gym and I leave with a bill for 1,500 basketballs after 2 hours. I could never, but I don't know about that one. But Bobby, just shoot. But yet another reason to not panic. Do you know how many rotation players are shooting above 35% from three this season?
One.
Two, if you count Drew, who's 38%, 8 for 21 on threes. Very small sample. Grayson freaking Allen, 39 yeah. for 94, 41.5%. Here's some of the other guys. George Hill, 35%, 35.7. Rodney Hood, 35.3. Pat C, 34.4. It's cooled down a lot over the last couple of games, although a huge three against Philly. Yorgos, 1 for 3. Jordan Wara, 32%. Bobby Portis, just under 32%. Justin Robinson, under 31%. Giannis, 27%. Chris, 25% on only a few shots. Shemi, even with this game, 25%. So Brook Lopez is at 50% on 4 shots. Obviously, only played the one game. But they're not shooting well outside of Grayson. They're somehow only like 18th in three-point percentage because of Grayson, who's taken nearly a fourth of their threes. He's attempted 94 of their 443s so far. But they're like the rotation players that were used to being pretty good shooters honestly have not been. And they're still, you know, one game below 500 with so many guys out. I believe I'm all in on the Bucks.
You know what's crazy? You know what I'm thinking about? The last time we did one of these pods, like a slight narrative pod, it's like, don't panic. Do you remember? Do you
Pat know what Connaughton.
Yeah.
Stop blaming Pat well. Connaughton.
And it did not look good in the immediate aftermath of
it
the sure release of that.
Did but age it, well.
It did age well. We ended up unanimously agreeing on the GSPN that he should. Is it unanimous that he should go up on the Raptors?
I don't know if it's unanimous.
Jordan probably just was indecisive.
Jordan's gotten. I think Adam is in. I think Jordan might be in. Adam might change his vote just so we can get a good debate out of it. But I think he's in.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is there's good precedent for these type of pods.
There is.
And even though I said it 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. All of my good ideas are just Rohan's old ideas. That's an established, that's canon of the GSPN extended universe.
Yeah, but like you said at the top, R-E-L-A-X, relax.
I didn't think we were going to be doing an ASMR pod this early in the year, but, you know, extenuating circumstances.
Should I get super close to the mic?
Oh, boy.
Relax.
There's a segment of our listeners who are really going to enjoy that part of the show, Rohan.
Oh, God, I regret it already.
Do you have any other lineups or things we've gleaned? I think my number one has just been like, I mean, Giannis is still incredible.
Yeah, no, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Giannis is going to be a sole factor why they're winning a bunch of games.
Yeah.
We already know he's not going to get hurt, knock on wood. But like, even if it looks catastrophic, it's not.
He's made of adamantium. There's no other, it's wild.
It's like adamantium, vibranium mold or something. Meld. I can't think of the word.
I think that's
alloy.
Oh, alloy. Yeah. Alloy.
Yeah. I know science.
Yeah. A little bit.
But he struggled in the first half of the Sixers game. There was like a stat of like, oh, B-ball Paul is holding. I don't know if they might have actually said B-ball Paul with the way he markets himself. My goodness. But he was like, oh, Giannis is 4 of 11 when guarded by Paul Reed. His name is Paul Reed. I keep calling him B-ball Paul.
He's also known as Patrick Reed by the TNT broadcast.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Reggie Miller, folks. Also, Shake Middleton had himself a pretty nice game.
No way did he say that.
Not intentionally, but yeah.
Oh no! I was clearly
It's a good call. He issued an apology to B-ball Paul, and said he was calling him Patrick because he reminded him of Patrick Ewing.
Excuse me.
B-ball Paul, baby.
This is way too much B-ball Paul talk. But Giannis, my point is that Giannis was not looking great in the first half. Like even our the great Nekias Duncan was like, this is a C-plus game from Giannis. And then he just dominated the fourth quarter. You got Kyle Kuzma tweeting about Giannis takeover. Did you see that? He's like, Giannis dominating the fourth. Wow.
I wish I could get there on liking Kuzma. He's made himself into a fine NBA player.
He's pretty good.
It's the takes though. Still, that was a good take by him. Still some questionable science takes, unsurprisingly. But
good take on Giannis.
You got a take because on Giannis, good player. Otherwise, eh.
Yeah.
B-ball Kuz.
But, yeah.
B-ball Kuz. Let's do this B-ball shimmy.
No.
Tonight.
Okay, tonight it was B-ball shimmy.
B-ball shimmy.
Giannis, we need to talk about Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis.
He took over in the fourth. Just absolutely dominated both offensively and defensively. It was one of those games where it's like, okay, they're not losing because they have the best player on the court by far.
Yeah, and I think I've seen this idea too that, like, you know, Giannis needs to step up a bit and get some wins. He's this good. First, he has. I mean, if it wasn't for Giannis, God knows where they're at right now.
I don't know. Grayson Allen might be averaging like 50.
It's possible. And two, like, they're most of these games, they're winning his minutes by a lot. Like, he has one of the most dramatic on-off swings in the NBA. It's just when he sits, everything goes to hell. It was this game too. I mean, late in the third quarter and some points, I think in the fourth, Giannis sits. It's just like, oh, Philly's back up by two again. Giannis checks in. Okay, the Bucks are up by six again. Giannis checks out. Oh, tie ball game. He can't control anything about the minutes when he doesn't play, and he's not going to play like 45 minutes a night for these games, thank God. But I will say the shooting wasn't great. The middies, the threes, and the free throws, I think a little bit of it might just be exhaustion. And also, we saw some good catch-and-shoot stuff from him. There's not enough guys creating offense in the interior to pass to him right now. Drew a little bit, Grayson a little bit, but I just think he's not getting good looks for his shots at the moment. And I hope that we'll see some more improvement on that front when he's not doing quite so much of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of inefficient games for Giannis, especially, like you said, when he has to shoulder this massive of a load with no real outlets. Like, if Chris Middleton isn't right next to him, that's like a guy you can guarantee the pass to, and it's like, okay, he has a really good chance of making the shot or creating his own shot, right? Chris Middleton's not there. If you give it, like, if there's someone in the lane, and it's just like this seven foot behemoth and Brook Lopez, you can just finish over everyone. That's a good outlet for Giannis. He's not there. There's just a lot of heavy lifting for Giannis. But guess what? This man is strong. He can handle.
31 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, no turnovers. No turnovers on the level of touches Giannis has is honestly stunning. One personal foul. This, honestly, impossible game from Giannis like a year or two ago. There is no chance a Bucks team this depleted, he gets the win. And again, Sixers were two. We get it. More so. Whatever. There's no chance that he goes 31-16 with no turnovers and one committed foul with that kind of usage. Like, that just shows his evolution as a player and just learning how to control games without doing too much. And it's hard to say enough about Giannis. We probably don't say enough about him, but we're working on it. But certainly not a perfect game for him, but it's just nice to see. Doesn't get too frustrated. Remains in control. Posters Paul Reed, B-ball Paul, after B-ball Paul got in his face earlier in the game and gets the dub, most importantly of all.
Yeah, that's what matters at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whether you get the dub or not. But yeah, just his... maybe I'll incorporate this into my Substack thing that's coming, but his
post on-off that was promised
at some point, his on-off numbers are just ridiculous, but also his shot profile is sort of changing and evolving game to game, whether he's going to be pulling, like you mentioned, he's 27% from three. It's because he's just been chucking the last couple of games. It feels like from distance, this game was it felt a little more controlled. What did he have?
He only took 2 threes.
Yeah, it only took 2 threes, didn't make either of them. But it's better than like the 5, 6, 7 that he's been getting in the last couple games. It's a game-to-game evolution of Giannis. We saw this over the course of like months, literally, for the playoffs. Now it's happening game-to-game, seeing the game differently. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Giannis.
Yeah, and I think some of the threes, especially the games where he takes a lot, I feel like it's like a punt. He's just like, I'm not trying to do all the work this possession. Let me just take this elbow three and maybe it goes in. And we basically get, it's like, it must to him just feel like free points, right? It's like, I didn't have to muscle through three guys and finish through six arms scraping away at me with no fouls called. This is great. I see why Steph does this all the time. This is a lot less demanding than what I do. Not to talk down on what Steph does, of course. His approach to shooting threes is just a little bit different than Giannis, as is the urgency on defenses against him. But for Giannis, when he can make a three, it must just feel like, you know, when you find $5 on the ground, it's like, oh, this is great. This was so simple.
This is fun.
Why can't this happen more?
I just need to become – the thing is, he can improve his ability to do that. Can we improve our ability to find $5 on the street?
Yeah, I mean, just like look down and walk around a lot. Metal detector.
Oh, that wouldn't get bills though.
I mean, coins over time add up to be. Or just look down more. Just, you know, put the phone away. Just look down. Walk in pretty congested. Maybe around banks.
You say look down in congested areas around banks.
I mean, stay on the sidewalk. I'm not saying I'm gonna do this, but we all had to get through college somehow.
That's fair. I don't even know where I was trying to make a weird analogy. It didn't work.
It's probably but for the just best. So, yeah.
In general, we'd be just overall, Giannis, big reason not to panic. We talked about a lot of different reasons not to panic on this pod. Do we have anything else, Ty?
No, just hang in there. I mean, like, it's tough.
It sucks.
It sucks to watch the Bucks lose. I get it. I don't enjoy this when they lose. I don't enjoy those games. They clearly need a center. TBD on how that's going to go. But these games don't mean that much for what the team will look like later. We don't know if the roster will be the same. We hope they're going to be healthier. And if they're not, it's just you're out of luck. I mean, there's only so much you can do if you're unhealthy for extended amounts of time in the playoffs. The Bucks have shown they can get by for a while, even without Giannis. But you just have to assume at some point they're going to be able to get the team together to an extent. We know it's going to look different than this.
For sure. We know it's going to be different. We're, like I said, it feels like it's been a while. We're only 13.4% into the regular season. It's like, what, 2 weeks? We're 2-3 weeks in?
It's got to be like three, that? I think.
Yeah, we're 3 weeks in around into the regular season. It's fine. Relax. It's all good. And you know who's going to be there throughout this entire journey? The Eurostep Podcast Network, baby. It's going to be us, Eurostep. It's going to be up, Win in Six. It's going to be collabs. It's going to be all of that. To get all of that content, what you need to do, one, subscribe to the Eurostep Podcast Network on your podcast platform of choice. Two, I struggled through that. Two, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Again, Eurostep Podcast Network on YouTube. Three, subscribe to the Substack so you don't miss this post that I may or may not drop at some point in the future. So you get that right away in your inbox by subscribing to the Substack. And again, most importantly, circling back to number one, leave a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you can, especially if you're on Apple, but whatever you can. Ty, let's read out a review.
We got one more. I read out one with Jordan.
We've got a queue.
I read out one with Jordan on the last pod, the Herd Recap. Mm-hmm. Go listen to that. That was written in Old English, technically it's Middle English, but for some reason, not exactly sure why. But we're going across the pond for this one. Grant Harrison, 91, from Great Britain, says, Bucks in six, 2 exclamation points, 5 stars. Great start. The title and number of stars can't do much better than that. Grant says, started listening to the boys after the Brooklyn series. As a fan from the UK, it's great to have this pod for some honest, well-researched, and very entertaining Bucks content. Ty, Rohan, Adam, and Jordan are all awesome. Keep up the good work, lads. Let's hope for another year of great basketball and great pods. Let's go, Bucks. Instant respect for any of the Bucks fans, and I'd love to hear from more of you. Drop it in the Apple reviews if you want me to talk about it more every episode. But if you're living in Europe or Asia or Africa, wherever else.
Antarctica,
probably. Like, I look in the data. There's a few people at least that tune in from almost everywhere. One, thank you for listening, of course.
Appreciate it. Two, so much. We really do.
If you are in, like, Kenya time, watching the Milwaukee Bucks, whenever that is, I've got to imagine very early in the morning or very, very late at night. Like, props to you. Like, the fans who do the different time zones thing, like, the closest we really get as Americans is the Olympics, which barely happens. And, like, soccer, football, as probably Grant would say, which, like, it's not even that bad. Like, you get to wake up early on weekends and watch it. Like, it's not bad at all. The people who are in these other countries who – in Australia. I should not have left off Australia – who watch the Bucks, like, inspiring stuff. Props to you all for hanging in there.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a different level of fandom. You have to be, like, really committed, and appreciate you sharing that journey with us. So thank you for that great review. And we'd love to hear this sort of stuff. So, you know, leave that review. And again, you'll get it right on the pod. Helps us out, makes us feel all warm and fuzzy. You get to express your feelings. It's a win for everyone. You know, expressing your feelings is good. Whatever.
Cancel your BetterHelp. Just DM Rohan.
That is not a good idea.
Don't cancel.
Do not do that.
Don't do that. Actually, a generic remote healthcare provider. I don't think they're a sponsor of this episode. So, but don't cancel them. Use your resources, folks.
Yes. Listen to medical professionals, everyone.
Yeah.
That is a takeaway. But yeah, thank you all for listening if you're still here. But appreciate you all. Make sure you follow, subscribe, all the plugs that I mentioned earlier. Take care. Go Bucks. We'll talk to you next time.